Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey everyone, it's Faye Davis here, and I am so excited that you are tuning back into the America's Jobs Team podcast. You know we never steer you wrong with these conversations, so we're glad to have you. And our podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. This week, Carla Soans is joined by Sean McGuire, who is the Director of Planning and Economic Development for the town of Colony, New York. Sean is a recipient of the Top 50 Economic Developer Award this year, and throughout the interview, it becomes really clear that he has an incredible passion for navigating relationships and building trust and maintaining momentum to drive his community forward. Sean talks about how he does quite a bit of multi-municipality work, and he shares tips and best practices that he commits to in order to navigate those relationships that can sometimes get difficult when you're navigating between two different towns or municipalities in order to bring those projects to fruition. So from here on out, Carla will take it away.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and today's interview has really got me excited because I don't think I've ever met Sean before. And so I love when we have the opportunity to meet new friends via the podcast and to learn what other economic developers are doing that maybe we haven't had a chance to get to know each other. So this is going to be really fun, really exciting. I love people who know me know that I love to meet new friends. So Sean, welcome so much to the podcast. We're very excited to dive in with you. I do want to give a little bit more of a proper introduction. So for those of you that also may not know Sean, he is the Director of Planning and Economic Development for the town of Colony. And I hope that I pronounced that correctly. I've been practicing to make sure that I did it right. But I am thrilled that you're here with us. And I always like to start, especially for people that I personally haven't gotten a chance to work with as closely, and just learn how you got into economic development and certainly how that work has led you to the current community that you're serving. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey so far?
Sure. Well, Carla, thanks for having me on today. Really a pleasure to meet you and talk with you. You know, this is like that first interview question that you get for any job, right? Is like, what's your journey look like into economic development? And I think over the years, I probably didn't realize as early in my career as I do now, like how deep those reaches go back into. And I almost go back to like being 12 years old and I was a paper boy. You know, we don't even have 12-year-old paper boys or paper girls anymore. But I was delivering newspapers in Albany, New York, getting up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning. And what was really neat is I saw how the community would like wake up every day. And I had a real affinity to my real, you know, Jane Jacobs style urban neighborhood. And over time, I think I realized that that made so much sense to me, like how the community works and operates. And I was drawn more towards the businesses that made the community than anything else, that continued to filter in, I think, through my life and later on into my career, so much so that I became a member of our Neighborhood Association Board of Directors in graduate school. And one of the first things I was doing was getting out there and promoting our local businesses in our neighborhood, trying to extend their reach. In graduate school, I did an internship with a business improvement district, worked on their first website, again, to get the message out about local businesses. Took a little bit of time to work for a small consulting firm doing planning, but always every time I could touch economic development, I did. And, you know, that just continued to grow and flourish from there. You know, I got a really great chance to be the senior economic development planner for Albany County and running its Empire Zones program. And if you remember New York State and its Empire Zones program, it was really like the front door of economic development for the local community statewide. And so that's, you know, really where it goes from. You know, I had the chance to come over to Colony a year ago this February, which is really exciting. I love Colony. I have actually some interesting prior history, but if we get to that, I'll fill you in on that a little bit. But, you know, Colony is really at the center of the capital region. There's four cities that anchor this region. And, you know, I remember as an undergraduate, as a graduate student, just always thinking about this region and how it's not like sort of those center city regions that exist. And this is the planning nerd in me, that's how I always truncate and abbreviate that out. The planner in me really comes out and says, this is a different type of region because of how this all operates. And so now I'm working in things I've been thinking about for years, which is really awesome.
Yeah, I love how you went from paper boy, like paper deliverer, to planner nerd or plan a nerd. Is that how you said it?
Planning. It's like a combination of planning and nerd. So plan nerd.
Plan nerd.
Yeah, yeah. It looks better on Twitter than you say it in English.
Yes. No, I love it. That's great. So I want to talk a little bit about, I mean, you're, I can already tell that your like zest for your community and the work that you do is so, it just kind of like seeps from you, which I think is really exciting. But I know 2020 was like a really hard year, especially for, there was so much momentum going into 2020 in communities. And I know you probably spent a lot of time planning and really, you know, making sure that the right amenities were in the community and the right business mix and all of that. How has 2020 really kind of reshaped your work? And how have you kind of managed your own leadership hurdles as you went through 2020? Because I know we all had them. How have you kind of managed kind of the ups and downs of this last year?
Yeah, well, I think 2020 forced us all to rethink, reexamine, and reimagine how we do our work. Right. I came into 2020 into Colony with a full head of steam of things I wanted to do. And, you know, I had my 90-day plan and what I wanted to do in year one. And I was in the office 3 weeks before, you know, COVID shut everything down and really put the brakes on things. But that never stopped my team. And I really credit my team. This isn't just a one-man show. I've got a great group of folks from my office to our IT department. You know, and then certainly with the leadership of our town supervisor behind us to make things really happen. And so one of the immediate challenges we knew we were going to face in Colony is that being at the center of the region, we have a strong retail presence. There's a lot of things that go on retail wise. And then that also reaches down into hospitality, tourism, eateries, restaurants, you know, some of those quality of life pieces that really make a region and a community strong. So, you know, March came around. One of the things that we knew initially, you know, from the outset was that, you know, we run the planning. So I have four boards that I work with in my department alone. And the planning board being one of them, the one that's going to review site plans and move projects along. You know, we knew from day one that delaying the planning board delayed economic activity in the town. And it goes back to my days at the Regional Planning Commission doing economic impact analysis and really understanding how the economy works. And so if we're going to, you know, slow down construction projects because we're not getting approvals for, you know, that has a really devastating trickle down effect in the local economy and the regional economy. So one of the first things we did was to make sure that we had a good continuity of operations. And so, you know, again, a huge thanks to everybody in our team, because we took our planning board to a remote meeting format, probably one of the earliest around and one of the most, you know, I'll pat myself on the back, I guess, one of the most successful. And we continue to use that same format to do that. And that's allowed us to do business all through the pandemic and keep those activities moving. You know, once we tackled that, we started, you know, the spring started to, you know, come around a little bit more. And we knew that our restaurants were in a bad spot because they hadn't been open. And so, you know, working with our building department, we started to think about, you know, what can we do to make sure that, you know, places like our restaurants can open back up and that we can sort of get that, that real quality of life, you know, moving again in the community while being safe. You know, safety is, you know, paramount through all of this. And so we worked together and with our town supervisor's leadership, created a temporary outdoor seating program. I mean, we were fast tracking outdoor seating approvals for restaurants that would take weeks, you know, in as little as 24 hours. I mean, one of them, we told them, this is what we need to do to make it quick and easy. And they said, I'm in. And I think I had a site visit and the letter out to approve their site, their outdoor seating, you know, and before lunch, you know, so you know, that was really important. And then, you know, taking a look at the resources we had, we did a small business grant program that the state authorized us to do with some of the economic development funds we had. We ran that program. And then again, because we kept everything moving with our planning board, some of the big redevelopment projects that we've been waiting for years to happen are in the ground and moving along.
That's really exciting. And I really appreciate the fact that you talked and addressed the fact that it's so vitally important to keep some of those boards and commissions and approval processes moving forward. And I really firmly believe that having really strong economic developers and connection to local leadership is what allows those things to kind of keep moving forward, because people just kind of stopped for a while. Like it was like, well, we'll just wait. And I think having that, having people who understood how the economy worked, who understood what their local, you know, business community needed in order to survive and moving quickly is what will eventually have saved a lot of businesses. In addition to the influx of resources and grant programs and those types of things too, but that expedience of being able to like notice problem, find solution. Mm-hmm. I think when we look back years from now, those will be huge, huge kind of tipping moments for how a community's response really, really saved businesses. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's really important. I want to talk a little bit. You kind of hinted around some of the big projects going on in your community. And I would want to give you the floor for a second to kind of talk about 2021 and what you're hopeful for this upcoming year, what you're excited about for your community, and kind of what you all are working on.
Yeah, you know, there's two projects that I think I'm really excited about. So, you know, being in the center of everything, you know, we don't have honestly big sites. You know, those exist, you know, further to the north, further to the east, further to the west. You know, so, you know, we're really looking at redevelopment, which is exciting to me because it brings property on that people have been looking at for so long and wondering when something is going to happen here. And it's bringing it back online. So, you know, I mentioned one of the projects we're doing is an old Delaware and Hudson D&H maintenance rail yard as a redevelopment project that a gentleman, Peter Luisi, who's done some other redevelopment projects around the area, has taken on. And I'm excited about that because this is like one of those sites, and I'm working on two of them right now. This is one of those sites that early in my career, we really struggled to try to make something happen on. Part, you know, this is a site that's a former Empire Zone site that couldn't generate the activity. And sometimes it's just a matter of timing, right? So, and the right people in the right place at the right time. So I'm really excited about that because what that's going to do for us is bring some much needed industrial space, light industrial space, warehousing, light manufacturing down along our riverfront communities, the village of Menands. You know, we're just south of the city of Waterville, you know, right in that neck of the woods where we had some really legacy type industrial activity for so long. But, you know, as you know, things have happened in the Rust Belt here, you know, conditions changed and industries moved on and changed the way they did business. So, you know, I'm excited about that. They've got the first building up. We're already talking about, you know, the second phase of that project. I was just down there the other day. They're doing borings under the rail line that runs adjacent to it. So they're going to have some opportunity for rail spurs in there, and that, which is really valuable, you know, in any economic development project, great access to the interstates. I mean, you really couldn't talk about a better piece of property for some real good industrial development. So that's one of them. The other is a project called Tobin's First Prize, which is in the West Albany part of Colony. Now, if you're driving through the region, if you're coming across Interstate 90 from east to west or west to east between Albany and the New York State Thruway, you'll see this. I mean, it's so visible from the highway. That facility closed 40 years ago, you know, and it's been sitting there for 40 years. Again, this is something that people have tried to make something happen on, but the right people are in place. The timing is right. They filed for permits to do the demolition on that site for their first set of buildings. We expect the whole site to be fully demoed by 2022. And then we're working intermunicipally with the city of Albany. So the town of Colony and the city of Albany have formed a joint board to redevelop that site because of how it straddles both of the municipalities. Now that's even for, you know, this is like even more like geeking out on things, because for a number of years I worked for the state of New York and trying to encourage intermunicipal cooperation as a means to promoting economic development. So we're doing that. The outcome there is going to be a wonderful mixed use development in West Albany. Again, you know, minutes off of the interstate, but appropriately integrated and planned and designed and developed with the existing neighborhood around it. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome project. And that's one of the areas that I know as economic developers, I think sometimes fall into two camps, and I could be wrong on this, but some people seem a little bit very territorial. Like I need to really take care of like my region or my town or, you know, kind of my geography. And mm-hmm. others are like, I need to do what's best for my region. And that might mean really partnering with my next door neighbor on this. But you know, that intermunicipal work is challenging. It's mm-hmm. exciting, yet it's challenging. And I'm so fascinated by it. And I'm definitely going to stay in touch with how your project is going there, because I think there's probably lessons learned that you'll have from that it'd be fascinating to learn from. But I'm curious to hear from you, like what you think are the kind of keys to success when you have two communities that have maybe some really good reasons for working together, but also have unique identities and ways of doing business. Like, what are some of the keys to making that partnership and relationship work and truly be mutually beneficial?
Yeah, I think these relationships are built on a lot of trust, and it's not trust that's automatic, it's trust that's earned. So, you know, I think it's years of building these relationships up and building a reputation too of, you know, somebody who's ready to work with people. You know, I come from a regional background. I mean, you know, my degree's in regional planning. You know, my first internship was a regional planning commission. I was the director of economic development for the regional planning commission. You know, so I understand the regional nature of the economy and how, you know, just because a site straddles two communities doesn't mean that, you know, what happens on one side doesn't affect what happens on the other side. And I think that that's probably how things have changed significantly in this region. I think in New York, you know, overall, I think we're certainly friendly and competitive. I think that serves us all really well to try to, you know, want to be the best and bring the best projects forward. But I think what's also important is to, you know, support your neighbors who are also in it together. So, yeah, I mean, in this case, you know, we've built trust with the city and my colleagues over there, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. And even to the point where, you know, I got a call from a reporter, and before I even called the reporter back, I called my partners in the city and I said, just want to let you know that I'm going to talk to these guys because I don't want anything catching you off guard. So I think that was, you know, it's things like that. It's those little touches, and they have to be genuine. You know, this isn't lip service I'm giving. I mean, I think anybody who knows me knows my genuine nature, and that's who I am. I want to come together. I want to really, you know, pull in the big wins, you know. And sometimes, listen, we might lose an opportunity or we might not land an opportunity, but if it ends up next door and nearby, I think that's, you know, that's fine. I don't have a significant problem with that. You know, it's a little disappointing not to get it yourself, but, you know, I know that my residents in the community are just as likely to have that job opportunity, or, you know, in the case of somebody who's expanding or relocating and they just can't, you know, their needs can't be met in your community, but you keep them nearby, I think that's a huge win. So, yeah
absolutely. And I really like that you pointed out that not only being genuine, but that building that trust, and it's not trust just because of your reputation, it's trust or, you know, kind of your body of work, your resume, I should say, it's trust that's earned. And I think sometimes people just kind of take the notion of, well, look at everything that we've done as an organization, you should trust us. Mm-hmm. But it's that individual trust of like, can I trust you? And have you earned my trust? And that's certainly so important. So I like that you pointed that out. I want to end our conversation today. We could probably keep talking forever because I might not be a planner, but I definitely am an economic development nerd. But I want to talk a little bit about just your energy. and you can tell that you're very dedicated to what you do and very focused on what you're doing. How do you kind of keep your energy up even in times when things aren't going your way, like you lost a project or you get a rejection on something or it's stalled? Like, I think sometimes even worse than a rejection is when something keeps dragging out that you feel like should go faster. How do you keep your energy up?
Oh, I have so much love for what I do, you know, and how I got here too. You know, I probably should not be doing what I'm doing if I go back and look at like how I did as a college student, because I really struggled, you know, but I had a friend who pushed me along the way and really showed me what I can do if I, you know, just put my head down and stay focused. And I love what I do, you know, and I think that's the key thing, you know, it's not work if you love it. You know, that's where I really draw my energy from. This is just exciting. When you have to, you know, you have to explain, you know, what you do to people. I said, I'm like Mr. Rogers, but, you know, for grownups, you know, I get to go inside, see what people are doing. So I just draw so much energy from the work and from the challenge. You know, everything is a puzzle in my mind. And sometimes you nail it and sometimes you really struggle. But it's the key is, you know, never giving up, just keep pushing forward. And one of the things I love most about economic development is like the community of our people, our economic developers. I work around a lot of different people, but, you know, I'll secretly say that when I'm around, you know, my people, the economic developers of the world, you know, that's a lot of fun. So it's a great group of people to work with day in and day out. I love my people. I draw a lot of energy from them. So yeah, there's just nothing that really zaps my energy in this. It's really hard to sort of destroy energy in this work.
Yeah, I love the economic development team of people too. I just think it's such a fascinating group of people because everybody comes from unique backgrounds and is kind of doing their own little piece of the puzzle. So like you kind of reference that puzzle, but it's like there's some people planning, there's some people going out and attracting new businesses, like everybody has their like own little subspecialty that makes it all work. And it's so fascinating. And I think it's just some of the most passionate, gifted, talented, smart, and fun group of people. And I'm so glad that I had a chance to interview you and get to know you a little bit more and excited to feature you on the podcast today. So thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. I know you're busy and have a lot of things still going on there in New York that you're trying to help your community resolve kind of post as we hopefully move out of this pandemic. I'm so ready to say it's done, but we're still dealing with it. But thank you for giving your time up today and for being a guest on our podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I really love talking with you today. This was a blast.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcast, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.